Hello everyone, it's Kate Stillman with yogahealer.com and welcome to the Dharma Workshop. I'm so glad to see so many people here. We had over 1,000 people register for the call, and to me that just signifies that like we're wanting to step into what we're becoming together and intentionally. I've always found New Year's Day to be a time where there's just a natural pause, that there's a slowing of the cultural energy. Just I'm not sure if it's planetary to me. I don't notice it that way. I just sense that like culture slows down for a day. There's not much going on, and it's such a great opportunity to just take time and for us to take time together, you know, and I know many people will be downloading and doing this later, but to me it's still like around this time of just taking time to slow down and tune in. And that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to take some time and we're going to slow down and we're going to tune in. And we're going to see, too, about how we can make a really specific practice to solidify who we're becoming. So what we're going to start with today is just a little bit about Dharma and just what is Dharma and what is Dharma to us right now on the path of life, on the path of our own evolution, and also just in the larger evolution of where we are in culture, in community, and what we want to make have happen in the world in our lifetime. So to ground this conversation, because I know I tend to attract people who are really into yoga. I tend to attract people that are also newer to yoga. So there's often about, you know, over 50% of the people here are usually yoga teachers. Of those yoga teachers, I know my audience pretty well. Over 50% of those teachers have been teaching more than 10 years. So I know a lot of you know a lot about Dharma, and yet there's people newer to the conversation. There's also a way to, I think, of looking at Dharma in a way that's fresh. So that's what I want to start with. It's just what is this really about? Like, what is it really about to get intentional with where we're headed, with who we want to be, with our purpose? I was reading a bit about Dharma, and I read that Dharma marries karma and yoga. I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. So karma is action, right? So action takes place in the world. Like you can see it, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can touch it. It's something that has happened, right? There's action, and we can see the consequences of the action. So marrying that, marrying action with yoga. And what's yoga? Well, yoga is union of ourselves with the big picture, with the big purpose, with the eternal. Right, yoga is living in remembrance of the biggest possible perspective of who we are and all that is arising. It's also a code of ethics, right, of how to act in accordance with that knowing, in accordance with the laws of nature. So marrying these two, like acting in alignment, right, we have aligned action. To me, in two words, that's what Dharma is. Is aligned action. What I want to know with you is like, what's your definition of Dharma? What's Dharma to you in your own terms? So I'm going to talk a little bit more about Dharma, but I want you to be thinking in the back of your mind, like, how would I define it in my own words? Because that's where you're going to get a lot more traction with this workshop and in stepping into who you're becoming in your life, which will really impact all the people that are in your life. It'll impact your core peeps. It'll impact your community. So if we look at Dharma as this aligned action, it invites growth. And I want to talk about this dynamic change orientation to Dharma. In the past, if we look at more like of a classical experience of Dharma, we'd find that it might be a lot more of like duty or purpose in a sense of it's like it doesn't change much. There's a repetitive nature to it. But in this day and age, which is very different than the classical days of yoga, we have a much more evolutionary orientation to who we are and what we can be and what all this is. And things change fast. Our roles of who we are change fast. Technology is changing so quickly in our navigation of using technology, not just the external technologies of our computers and our cool new apps and all that, but also our internal technologies also changing really fast. We're able to rewire our brains way more quickly than humans have been able to in the past. We're able to develop and evolve. We're able to come together in collective spaces and sense into a field. We're able to manifest change much more quickly than humans have been able to in the past. And because of this, we have this new developing internal technology. At least that is my experience. So the technology is inviting us, this inner and external technology is really inviting us into a perspective of dynamic change. So as we look into action in the future, like who are we becoming? Who do we desire to become? We can sense into that there's a desire base in there, right? That there's that Dharma itself can speak through desire. Who do I want to be? What kind of, you know, what kind of immune system do I want to have? What kind of body, physical systems do I want to have? What kind of mental, emotional capacities do I want to have? What new skills am I going to need? Right, and we can sense that there's change, that there's a very dynamic change involved with Dharma, with the action of becoming more aligned. So all that we've been before can now become distilled and refined, and that will enable us to step into our next alignment. And all this is based on this basic understanding that the universe is dynamic, that we are of the universe. Therefore, we are dynamic. This is this dynamic principle of Dharma. And that's why it's so important to pause, to just take pause in the midst of all this dynamicism and to slow down and take time to presence the new alignment for our lives. So taking time to presence Dharma is a way to access the new alignment of your life. We can, just by presencing Dharma, we can invite inquiry into the reconfiguration of who we are becoming. Right? So if we see everything we've known and that we can pause, and as we take pause, it actually reconfigures and becomes more useful, that what we know to be true. The relationship of karma is the relationship of cause and effect, and we can learn from that. We can learn from the causes and effects of all our past actions and thoughts and relationships, and we can then allow this pause to actually reconfigure itself into who we most want to become next. And very likely we'll need to use the best skills, habits, and we'll need to redefine relationships in order to step into our next configuration. So this is an interesting thing, right? Like the skills, the habits, the relationships, there needs to be this shift, this reconfiguration in really these specific areas, skills, habits, relationships. And so we can redefine what skills we need. We can get really clear and develop better agreements for our relationships. We can renew relationships. We might need also to generate new relationships in order to make this next phase of Dharma possible. And same thing is true with the habits. So there's habits that we have that are very suited and skillful to the next phase, and then there's new habits, there's new alignment. So what we're going to do today is really go through a process together of getting clear on what we want to become. I'm also going to give you a really specific practice that you can do 10 minutes a day, all year long. And I'm going to walk us through how to do this, how we actually do conscious upgrade of our, you know, of our vision, of our habits, and of our relationships. So one thing I just wanted to mention that to me is important is that in the Bhagavad Gita, the first word is Dharma. And anyone who studied yoga for a while knows that in any of the sutras, like the first word of the book, there's a significance, there's a weight to it. there's a significance of everything that's going to happen next. And that the Bhagavad Gita, this, you know, it's like the Bible, right, from the Hindu tradition, that it starts with the word Dharma, to me, signifies so much of how we want to just live in alignment, like a word to pay attention to, right? So that this practice that we're going to do today is just based on that, like what's most important? How do we put weight? How do we signify that which is most important? And in that very first sutra of the Bhagavad Gita, and those of you who are scholars of the Bhagavad Gita, because I know you're on this call with me, I know you have a lot to add to this topic. So in the first sutra, there's a deep presencing of the field that's the field of Dharma, really, this field that the entire play of the Bhagavad Gita happens on, this war field, right? And there's a presencing of what happens. What do the men, because it's a tale about men, what do they do? What action do they take? Now, the field itself is considered to be the origin of aligned action, that the field itself, that the entire story takes place, is the origin of action. It's also called the land of righteousness. It's also the place for performing sacrifice. It's also the abode of ultimate truth. And to me, there's something in there that there's a way when we presence Dharma, when we presence this field, right? This field is not just an external field where a story is happening. It's an internal field. It's an internal field of aligning to action, aligning to that which is right. There is a sacrificial experience of it, of like who I was has to die in order for me to become what I need to be next. Right? And in there, in that sacrifice, we get more access to a much more selfless life. We get access to the ultimate truth, right? Of like, wow, I like who I am is dynamic more than static. I'm a verb more than I am a noun. This is all part of the dynamic principle. Now, the field itself is also a field, is like where that which is cultivated, right? Where you cultivate your future. What seeds do you plant? How do you tend those seeds? So it's really where we're going to begin this whole conversation of, is just with this understanding of aligned action, understanding of righteousness, understanding of sacrifice, or who we were before has to die for a new alignment to become, that there's a place of cultivating in the highest truth that we know, of acting in the deepest alignment, not just within ourselves, but really within the entire arising universe as it is. So it's a big deal, right? It's like a big deal that we like stop and pause and align with our Dharma. It's an important thing to do, a Dharma workshop. So if we look more in terms of integral enlightenment, I know many of you are studying evolutionary enlightenment or integral enlightenment, we might see that Dharma happens when we show up as the evolutionary impulse, fully aligned to the bigger perspective of who we are as the divine in action, with full access to everything we've learned before. So whatever it means to you, I just want you to take a pause right now and just write down, like, what's Dharma in my own words? What does Dharma mean to me right now? Okay, and you can continue to update your definition as it, you know, as it suits your needs, because that's really the point, is that it works for you. I just want to talk a little bit about my experience with Dharma, and both as a student of yoga and Ayurveda, and just through my career, when I first learned about Dharma, it seemed a lot more static. Like there was a, like I had a, like there's a purpose and I was supposed to discover this purpose and then I was supposed to do that. Just raise your hand if that resonates with you. If you ever went through that phase, press one. I just want to get a sense of how many people on the call resonate with that. And if you, that doesn't resonate with you, go ahead and press two. With the sense that there was this purpose and you're supposed to align to that, like find out what it is and then align to it and then do it. Yeah, okay. So a lot more people are pressing one than two by a factor of about 80%. Yeah. So in my life experience with aligning to simply being useful and making a bigger impact with what I know, I have not found that definition particularly helpful, except for in the most, in the broadest sense of the term. But I also found that kind of limiting, broad terminology really limiting. Instead, what I find really super helpful is continually revisiting this aligned action. And not like every minute of every day kind of thing, but very periodically, like with small daily practices, but greater practices like the workshop that we're going to do today, done a few times a year. And for that reason, this will be recorded so that you can do it as many times as you want during the year. When we start to see Dharma as a moving target, we allow a much quicker reinvention of ourselves in alignment with what's needed next, like where we can have the biggest impact, where we can learn and grow and accelerate change. And also, so importantly, is like where we can align our body and the needs of our mental, emotional, and physical body into who we're becoming. So it's all part of the same thing. Like even if it's like we, if our Dharma, like we're really clear in terms of career and we're like moving forward fast and it's awesome, but we're totally depleted, like not good, right? Can't burn out the body in pursuit of the career. I've seen this a lot in my Living Ayurveda course with childbearing women who get burnt out through the process of raising young ones, and it affects their health, deeply affects their health. So by revisiting, we can revisit these multiple areas of life. So let's talk about this. Like, how are we going to get clear on Dharma? What's going to need to happen? So I've basically broken this down into a three-step process. First, we need a vision. We need a really clear vision. And then we need really specific action steps to enable the vision. And then we need to upgrade our relationships or the agreements within our relationships or develop new relationships or step into supportive groups that help us with the habits and the vision. So it's kind of simple. Those are the three steps. Clarify your identity vision, upgrade your daily habits in line with that vision, upgrade your relationships in line with that vision. Simple, right? Like totally simple, totally simple. Doing it itself is a habit. And most people aren't willing to do it because it's just something that, like, you know, the stuff you didn't grow up with is often harder to integrate. Like, let's do another quick poll because polling's fun. How many people had a really hard time developing a home yoga or meditation or pranayama practice, or are having trouble, hard time doing that? Press one, and press two if it was just a breeze. You wanted to develop a home practice and bam, it was a breeze. The next day you had a home practice, you never faltered, you never fell, you just cruised down that path, no problem. Okay, so we're at, it's kind of ludicrous. We're at about 90% more people pressed one. Yeah, and that's the experience, right? Almost nobody just stepped into a new practice. And this is why. I mean, it's when we're cultivating habits, we need to develop the habit around the habit. Yeah, okay. Now, often it's easier to develop habits if the people around you have the same habit, right? Like if Say your loved ones all meditate, your core relationships. See, everybody meditates. Everybody but you in your life meditates, and you want to start to meditate. Is it going to be hard? No, it's not. It's going to be easy. But if no one in your life meditates and you want to start to meditate, it's going to be harder. And sometimes if you don't, you know, if you don't even have anyone in your life who's meditating, you don't have a meditation teacher, you don't have a class where it's been done, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard. So we need to upgrade our relationships. Some of those relationships may be online. Some of them may be in person. It often doesn't matter. It's just that cultivation of relationship is such a huge part of it. So what we're going to focus on is getting clear on who we're becoming and then the action steps that are needed to step into that. And the action step itself is part of the habit development. Okay, and then looking at the relationships, taking action in relationship to engender the kind of relationships that will support who we're becoming and our evolving identity will be the third part. Okay, so what we're going to do now is just take a moment and get clear. So you need to either, so you can sit or stand. You want to make your spine upright. Because so many of you do yoga and meditation, this is going to just be a natural thing to do. I just want you to clear your center channel. So take some slower, deeper breaths. Your job right now is simply to make space. So I want you to feel the length between the crown of your head and the root of your perineum, which is right between your anus and your genitals. And as you inhale, I want you to begin to make your spine longer. Just let the breath naturally elongate the center. So the crown of your head has access to the heavens and your perineum has access to the earth. And I want you to start to make the space between clean, clear, and expansive. You can inhale down from the crown of your head into your root if that feels natural, or you can do it the other way. And then exhale and move your awareness in the opposite direction. Now, as you do this, allow a natural pause between the inhale, exhale, and the exhale, inhale. And see if you can let go. This is part of the sacrifice part. This is part of the being on the altar of your own evolution, where you just let your patterning, your physical patterning, your emotional patterning, whatever has happened so far today, whatever phase of life you're in right now, let all that just, let it just dissipate into the space that's holding you. So we're clearing the center, we're wiping the slate clean. If there's any tension in your body, allow that to be and allow that to actually go into the space around you. And if you're in a rush into going into the next phase of this, to see if you can allow that rush feeling to be there while you continue with the practice. And let that rush feeling just be in the space, to dissipate into space, because that's what space does. Space dissipates energy. And I invite you to trust. To trust in the clearing, that it's working, that you're doing what you need to be doing, that you're not doing it wrong. Trust that the breath knows what to do. Just trust the process that your spine, your nervous system, your digestive tract that run this horizontal, I'm sorry, that run this vertical axis, that run crown to root. Just trust in that natural alignment, nature's basic axis, the vertical axis. Just trust into consciously moving energy through breath. Trust the rhythm. And begin to trust also that all of your life experience has led you to this moment. That it's been useful. And that in this moment, in this reconfiguring, we're just allowing, as we're clearing, we're just allowing for natural reconfiguring, that what's most useful will rise to the top like cream. And that you don't need to do that, that that's just being done for you. All right, and slowly allow your breath to return to normal. And you may sense a more expanded inner space or just a more calm version of yourself. So what we're going to do now is get into the practice. And the practice you do each day can start with that, with a simple breath clearing. The next part is to take some time to write. So if you don't have somewhere to write, have somewhere to write. So get out a piece of paper. If you're on a computer, open the text doc. If you don't have somewhere to write right now, like maybe you're driving the car, just say your answers out loud. Just verbalize them into the space. That can work. There's a really cool app, the Dragon Dictator, where you just like dictate into your phone and it writes it down. If you have that app, you might want to use that app. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through a series of questions, and you're going to journal on the question, just stream a thought for a moment or two, and then we're going to end that journaling with you writing one specific and small action to take on that which you've written about. The action has to take less than 5 minutes to accomplish, okay? I'll remind you of this, so don't worry about remembering this all or writing it down. But the small and specific action you're going to take on that which you've journaled is just going to take less than 5 minutes. If it takes more than that, you're not following the instructions. So without following the instructions, I cannot guarantee your end result. All right. That's it. So the first question is, who am I? Who am I in the next phase of my life? Just take a moment. Start writing. Don't screen your thoughts. Just let the pen flow. Just keep writing. Again, don't filter yourself. And the who am I in the next phase of my life can have a number of different streams to it. So some might be oriented towards your body, some towards your career, some towards your what you're doing. All right. Now I want you to write one action step that you can do in less than 5 minutes. The one small action. You're not going to do it right now. You're just going to, we're just building a new habit. I just want you to write down what is the one action that takes less than 5 minutes that you can take in alignment with who you're becoming in the next phase of your life. All right, second question. What habits do I cultivate to become the person I envision? Again, what habits do I cultivate to become the person I envision? To start writing, stream of thought. Okay, now go ahead and write what is one small, specific action that takes less than 5 minutes that you can take to develop a habit that helps you cultivate the person you envision becoming. Okay, and three, what relationships do I need to cultivate to execute who I am becoming, to execute the plan, to become who I am becoming? What relationships do I need to cultivate? It can also be like, how do you have to shift your relationships? Just get clear on what relationships you need to cultivate. So now go ahead and write one action that's specific and takes less than 5 minutes that you can take for evolving your relationships. Now I was going to remind you the action should be specific, and it should also, there should be a feeling of desire. This teaching of raga, that the more tantric version of the teaching of raga, that we don't want to make it too hard. It should be fun. Like, you should like not be able to wait to take this next action. But there should just be a real like draw to like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to do that. So don't make any of your next actions too hard. Make them specific, and it should be like, yes. Okay, so we're going to get into a few more questions. At this point, those three questions, the who am I in the next phase of my life, what habits do I cultivate to become the person I envision, and what relationships do I need to cultivate to execute the plan, those three are the most crucial. I've developed 12 questions, so you can use one question per month as an anchor. You can also skip around in them. I just want to emphasize at this point that these three questions, to revisit these three again and again and again, who am I, what habits, what relationships, this is the fast track. This is really the fast track of living in sync with Dharma in a very evolutionary context, in a context where you're not as tied to past versions of yourself, but you just, it's a very, I just want to say, it's a really super dynamic aligned action. It's been my experience. I've had a lot of teachings on this topic from really different places in my life, from different, really different fields. And what I'm teaching today in this Dharma workshop, I'm just trying to distill that what I know into a really simple workshop, into a really simple process, is that these three, who am I, what habits, what relationships, these are the game changers. These are the ones that make the difference. Okay. So the next eight are in many ways just twists, evolutions, turns, different ways of accessing different parts of knowing within yourself. It helps us to make it more clear. So we're gonna go into a few more of these questions, and then I'm gonna wrap up with basically how to use this practice in a very distilled day-to-day way. Okay, so question 4, how will I feel in the next phase of my life? Or how do I want to feel? Or how do I feel in the next phase of my life? So it's all about feeling. So you may even take a moment right now and just drop into the feeling sense that you most want to experience. Like, what's your new MO? What's your more evolved mode of operation, your modus operandi? So simply feel into that and then start to write. You can describe how you feel. You might feel it in body, you might feel it emotionally, you might feel it in your subtle body. Notice what it feels like. Who you're becoming. What does that feel like? So go ahead and just write one small, specific action step. That you can take to feel more of this on this day. And the action step can be just as simple as like just letting yourself sit for a moment in silence and just simply feel. However you wrote, just feel, just be that. It's always accessible already. Before we go into the next question, I want to talk about this question a little bit more, this how do I feel question. There's a way to know as we're stepping deeper into Dharma or as we're stepping into the next configuration of aligned action if we're on track, and that we'll feel how we just wrote. And it can also feel scary and big, and it can also feel in some ways the opposite. But when it's time to make a decision, just to pause and relax and ask a question about the decision that you're making, should I do this or should I do that? and notice which one makes you feel more like you just wrote. So you can use this as a radar, as a detector, as a Dharma detector. We can call this one the Dharma detector question. That's one way to use it. Now, there's another way of using this question, which is to just simply commit to feeling like you just felt, and then you become that. So you might do that as part of your morning practices, or right before bed practice, just let yourself feel that which you just wrote down. So you just start to train your nervous system, you start to train the fabric of your physiology, you start to train yourself to feel how you just wrote. The feeling will then change the thought patterns and the actions. So you can go in either direction. You can go to actions that help you feel that way, but you can also go from the feeling, right, into that then changing how you make decisions, how you take action. Okay, next question. What will I do in the next phase of my life? Or what do I want to do? Go ahead and write your small, specific action step. That'll take less than 5 minutes. All right, next question. What do I need to know in this next phase of my life that I don't currently know? What do I need to know in this next phase of my life that I don't currently know? I just want to talk about this question for a sec, because sometimes it feels like we already know something and we're just not living into it, but often within that we've really there's a piece we don't know. And it's hard because you don't know what you don't know. But I just want you to be really honest with yourself here, okay? Like, what do you not know that you need to know? Because if you knew it, would you already be doing it? That kind of thing. What do you need to know? All right, one specific action step. Remember, it's got to be specific, and it's got to take less than 5 minutes. And if possible, it should be kind of jazzy, something like, oh, I can't wait to do that. All right, question seven. What is the plan, the stages, or the map to get to who you want to become? What are the stages or steps needed to reverse engineer a plan to who I want to become? So we can either work forward or backward. If you know where you want to go, you can look back to where you are. And just look at some milestones, like what are the milestones? And this will help you know when you're on track. And it'll help you know if you're not on track. So just look at this bigger version of yourself, this who you're becoming, this next phase of Dharma, of aligned action, who you are in the next phase of your life. And I just try to break that into a few stages, a few steps. I can kind of talk about this a little bit, and just personally, I have some goals with my personal life, and I have some goals with my Yoga Healer and YogaHealer.com and YogaHealthCoaching.com in 2015, and I want the personal life and the career goals to really intermesh in a constellation that would be a breakthrough for me. So when I look at that, if I look at reverse engineering, there's some really specific steps that need to take place to do that. And I can, and if it's sometimes it's easier to look in terms of whatever the externals are for me, a lot more of the externals have to do with Yoga Healer and Yoga Health Coaching. I could just look at, you know, how I'm spending my time, what I'm going to need to, based on the previous question of what I need to learn, I can say that, like, oh, now I know how to do that. That would be a milestone to know how to do that. It would be a milestone to have certain hires in place, for example. It'd be a milestone to get certain things off my plate that are being taken care of by other people. In my personal life, it might look like certain things are happening, like, okay, this is now a daily habit in my family. Okay, this is now a weekly habit for myself in terms of time management or in terms of scheduling, things like that. So whatever those stages are, just see if you can take, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. It's not long enough. None of this is long enough. I get that, you guys. It's just we're just walking through. You're going to use this workshop all year. That's how it's designed. So just walking through. So just a quick, you're giving me the 2-minute version right now. All right, number eight. How can I hold myself accountable? Or how can I hold myself accountable to the plan? There's different ideas with accountability. I'm going to talk about this just for a brief moment. I put myself in situations with other people that have been where I want to go. That's one of the best ways I hold myself accountable. Usually it's a paid relationship, and I pay them to help me to get to where they are, to really learn what they've already learned. I've used this tactic since, I feel like, forever, since I started, you know, hiring people for experiences. We do this every time we sign up for a training. Right. Every time we sign up to be in relationship with a teacher or a coach, in all of my courses, I create this kind of accountability relationship of hey, like, this is what we're doing here. This is what this group is doing. So there's different ways to hold yourself accountable. Some of it is just your simple charting, just charting your own progress, holding yourself to higher integrity with your own, you know, with your own goals and intentions. There's also being basically partnering, having an accountability partner, someone that you help them stay accountable to their plan, and you know, they hold you accountable to your plan. And you guys can, whenever you're looking for an accountability partner too in this community, you can just go to the facebook.com/yoga healer and see, like, hey, does anyone want an accountability partner for the Dharma workshop? And you guys can find each other through there. There's also, you know, just, you know, hiring a coach, being part of a training, being part of a group, a course that can help you stay accountable to the plan. So those are just some ideas. I'm going to give you a minute now to write. Okay, and now one specific action that you can take to hold yourself accountable. Question nine. So we've got four more. We're going to go through these. I'm going to stay on. We're going to go through these, and then we're going to talk about exactly how to use these. Actually, I'm going to talk about that now, exactly how to use these. And then we'll go through the remaining four, because I know there's so many people on the line. It's just awesome to have hundreds of people here doing this together. There's more people joining and not less people, you know, like, not seeing people drop off. So I just want to really give you guys the whole process. So before we go into the next four questions, I just want to say the way you're going to use this is you're just going to take one question. You can use the one question for a straight week. You can use the one question for a straight month. I made 12, one for each month, but you can use them however you want. I just want you to use all 12 throughout the year. And each preferably morning, although you can do it at the end of the day, I want you to have a 10-minute a day Dharma practice. And the way that it works is you just take a minute to do the breath clearing, and then you set a timer for 4 minutes, and you just journal on one of these questions. When the timer goes off, you write your one specific small action to take that takes less than 5 minutes based on what you've written, and you take the remaining time to do that action. If more time is needed, you schedule in that time to complete the action into your calendar that day or the following day with specific small steps. So really small to do. So you just break it down into action. Now what I want you to get here is that Dharma is all about action. It's aligned action. So it's less about like the glorious time just visioning and journaling and sensing into and presencing, like, yes, that's totally important. We give it a good 5 minutes. Okay. The rest is action, taking specific action. I want you guys to get this. I'm going to keep saying it until it's just in the fabric of your physiology. It's about the action. It's about taking the action step. Okay? How we change is how we show up in the world. It's all about taking that step, doing the small action that changes the course of your reality. It changes the course of the world's reality, the experience of you. So that's the 10-minute a day practice. I'm going to repeat a little bit and go a little bit more into that at the end, but let's cruise into question 9. What needs to be redefined in my core relationships to become who I want to become or accomplish what I would like to accomplish? What needs to be redefined or defined in my core relationships to become who I want to become or accomplish what I would like to accomplish? I don't know why it's doing that twice. Sorry, I know it's annoying. It's kind of annoying. One specific action to redefine your core relationships or define core relationships. So let me talk about this for anyone who's like, what are you talking about, Kate? What I'm talking about is if you're changing, it's like, to me, it's like we're like constellations. And constellations are slowly, dynamically changing, expanding, shifting. As one star in the constellation, when a star moves faster than the other stars are moving, it changes the constellation. And so it's so important that we're just conscious of how we're changing. And we also want to be super conscious of how everyone else is changing. And just in this, we can become more clear. We can really define what's needed, what we all need in the next evolution of our relationships. This is like a skill that I wasn't raised with this skill. I imagine if I did a quick poll that 95% of you are saying that you're not raised with this skill, and 5% of you lucky, mostly ladies out there, were, and gentlemen, a few gentlemen. What's a specific action you can take to align your relationships with who you're becoming? Okay, question 10. How do I need to use my time differently to become who I want to become? Again, how do I need to use my time differently to become who I want to become? One small action to align your time, your calendar, your schedule. And again, it's got to be doable. It's got to be simple. It's got to take less than 5 minutes. Question 11, how can I upgrade my home and workspace to support who I am becoming? How can I upgrade my home and workspace in support of who I am becoming? Go ahead and write your one specific action step. One specific action you can take in less than 5 minutes that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to do that. That needs to be done. Okay, question 12, our final question. How can I upgrade my internal space, body, mind, emotions, all that included? How can I upgrade my internal space to support the person I am becoming? How can I upgrade my internal space? So my body, my mind, my emotions to support the person I'm becoming. and just start writing. Okay, and one specific action. It takes less than 5 minutes. Okay, so at this point you have 12 streams of thought in response to 12 questions. You have 12 action steps that will take you about 5 minutes each, or roughly an hour. You could just do them all. But what I want you to get more than those 12 actions rolling, because that's a lot. That's kind of like, for some of you, that might just be totally overwhelming, and that's fine. What's more important is this: to take what we just did and just to make a daily practice of one question, one action. And through doing the one question and the one action, what starts to happen is you start to shift in alignment into just deeper, more rapid, more accelerated alignment. And it trains you towards action. It trains you towards taking action. I'm trying to think who I've heard this from, but something about I think it was in business. I think it was Greg Hartle, $10 on a laptop. I love Greg Hartle. And he was saying something about he was talking about making money and the economy and whatever. And what he was saying is that, so I think it was something like success rewards action takers. I'm totally butchering this, and I'll find the quote, but it's more or less like that. Like success rewards action takers, people who are indecisive, people who want to spend more and more time just thinking about it and don't take an action, they don't evolve as quickly. Which means that they don't enable the whole to evolve as quickly. Which means they don't have as much of a positive impact with their life that they could. And when we really look at the truth of what Dharma is, it's this positive impact. It's like it's having a life worth living. It's having a life worth remembering. It's having a life that affects positive change. That really does something. And we are all so privileged to be able to be on this call together. And I'm the first to admit it, like just to be able to take the time and to have access to, you know, a phone or a computer and to just take the time to reflect and to use this really cool interconnected technology to our advantage and to the advantage of the whole. It's awesome. Right? So what can we do with our life? That's the question of Dharma. What action are we going to take is the question of the Bhagavad Gita. Is it the action that is most aligned with our potential? And so the 10 minutes a day Dharma practice is just simply that. You just take a minute and you breathe your central channel open. You write and you just either use the same question until you're just over that question, which might take a month, or use the question that's most gripping to you right now, and then write the action, and then take the action. And you're just training yourself into a habit of an action taker. And remember, if your action takes longer than 5 minutes or there's more you want to work on, you're going to just schedule that in. You're going to schedule in when you're going to do that. But the core of the practice is just keeping it that simple. I have notes that go along with everything I've said, more or less. I'm going to post those notes, and you'll all get an email with a link to the PDF. So if it's helpful for you just to print the questions, then you can just basically cut and paste it into a doc and then just keep writing in that same doc. So then you have your Dharma. You can have your Dharma doc. Doc is short for document. It might just be in Word, or I use Google Docs or Pages, like whatever you're going to use. Just use it so that you can actually start to, you know, let it gain some traction. But these simple notes that you're writing each morning and a specific action, let that all live in a place, and then you can really see your own accountability. It's a way to help hold yourself accountable. All right, that was fun. That was helpful for me. I hope it was helpful for you. I'm going to stay online to answer any questions. If anyone needs to go, oh my goodness, thanks so much for being here and being part of the field in which this workshop's arising. And if anyone wants to ask me a question or has a comment, go ahead and press 1. I'm just going to say, too, about this workshop, if this has been helpful for you and you think it would be helpful for other people, please pass it on. And it's basically going to be at yogahealer.com/Dharma, and people will be able to download it and get the action sheets in the future. All right. So again, last chance, press 1. Questions about the method, comments? I'm not seeing any ones. And just press, so I'm going to change my, press, there's a one. I was going to say press 2 if this has been helpful, because I'd really like to know. All right, now we're getting a whole bunch of ones. All right. Nyla Evans kicking it off, the Q&A.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Happy New Year. I just wanted to let you know that this has been so incredibly helpful to me. The last week or so of this year has been pretty dismal and dark. And to be quite honest, last night and this morning when I woke up, I was not feeling so hotsy-totsy, for lack of a better term. And I am just so grateful to you for helping me to realign myself to be able to come to a more focus of my purpose and what I need to do to take action. This was like a serious wake-up call for me, and I just wanted to tell you thank you, and I'm just so grateful.
Nyla, thank you. Thanks for making this a priority in your day-to-day. I'm like going to write down the term hotsy-totsy. I think that's not a lack of better word. That's like my, going to be like my new word. It's going to be using hotsy-totsy in 2015, all y'all. And yes, exactly, Nyla. Like when we're like out of it, right? When we're not aligned.
Yeah.
And we're not aligned physically, and we're not aligned emotionally, and in relationship, oh my God, it's a mess. You know, it's like that's when.
And all three.
It's like, okay. Get clear, take action.
This is precisely what I needed. I was even supposed to go to an annual brunch that I've been going to with friends for the last 20 years, and I canceled it. I said, I have to have some alone time, and I have to be on this call. And I didn't even tell, it may be selfish, but I did not tell my friends about this call. And I don't know why I didn't. It was just such an imperative, important thing for me to do for me in order to kick off what needs to be done to fulfill my purpose. I mean, I'm more than willing to share everything that I have gleaned and the PDFs and, I mean, you know, whatever information we receive from you via Facebook or email or whatever, but I just, oh, my gosh, you have no idea how I was bound and determined, bound and determined, and I'm so grateful.
Awesome. Thank you, Nyla.
Thank you.
Audra, and Audra, I don't know your last name. Hello.
Hi, this is Audra. Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I was just wondering if you could speak just a little bit more about that five-minute action. I was able to just keep writing and writing and writing to the questions, and then I struggled a little bit on some of that, those 5 minutes. The most of my 5 minutes seemed to be really long, and I was grateful that I was actually coming up with actions, which even though they weren't short, I was happy that I found them. But I was kind of starting with the 5 minutes. So if you could just maybe give a couple of tips on cutting those down or being more specific about that. Thank you.
Yeah, great question, Audra. And this, you guys, this is like the question that needed to be asked. Because this is so hard to do. We're so good at like making a mountain out of a molehill. And what we want to do is make a molehill out of a mountain. Okay, so it has to take less than 5 minutes. The thing has to take less than 5 minutes. So I'm going to give you an example. We remodeled our condo in Mexico where we live 6 months of the year, and we had to move in before the contractors were done in the space, and it's kind of like this. It's kind of like living in a place that's being remodeled, basically. We'll be done in 2 weeks, but it's an intense process. And my office I've designed this like really incredible, tiny little beautiful office for myself. And so when that question came up about aligning the outer space, the living environment in line with my purpose, the action that I wrote for that question was just to sit for 1 minute in my space, which is kind of like not done yet. No, it's really not done yet. And it's not really quite ready for me to move into, but it's getting closer and closer. For me just to sit for one, I'm only going to give myself 1 minute, just sit in that space of doing nothing, just sitting there. Now, this is the trick, is when we have an action that's just so simple that we can actually do it, we start to build a deep accountability with ourselves. We start to become much more reliable to our vision of who we're becoming. And that, for a lot of us are out of integrity with our own vision of who we want to become. Meaning, like, we want to become that, and then we, like, stab ourselves in the back of the foot or the left butt cheek, right? Because we made it too hard. So what this practice is training you to do is make it so simple to take the next small step. Now, every action, this is sort of the law of karma, right? Every action has a reaction, that there's a vibration that goes into the space as a result of taking that action. And so just doing the 1 minute practice is enough to start to shift, and it changes what you'll then do in the rest of the day. It'll change how you make decisions in the rest of the day. And that's really the magic of this very, very simple practice. Does that help?
It does. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Can you give me, out of any of the 12 questions, can you give me an action that you can, a specific action that will take you less than 5 minutes?
Sure. Getting to bed earlier was kind of one thing. I was like, well, I can do that. I can do that immediately. But a lot of things I kind of was like, calendar this, like put it on the calendar.
Okay. So let's go into the bedtime one. So I want you to make it specific, okay, because earlier is not specific enough for me. What time do you want to go to bed tonight?
10 o'clock.
Okay, great. So a specific action might be to set, I use an iPhone. Some people use their brains more than I do. I don't. I use the supported technology a lot. But I would just set an appointment on my iPhone at 9:30, and I would put an audio timer on it to like buzz off that basically would then tell me to go to bed. And I would have that iPhone. I would just have that alert on every night. I would just program it to be on every night. Another thing that you could do, this is something that I do too, you guys, another like 1 minute action step is I just tell the people I live with, you guys, I'm going to start getting ready for bed at 9. I'm doing lights out at 10. If anyone notices it's 9:30, would you remind me that that's what I'm doing? So that's a, see, that'll take a minute. That conversation will take a minute, but it's going to shift the vibration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take a few more. Christine Adams, hello.
Hi. I wanted to kind of almost coincide with what Nyla said earlier. Thank you very much for this. I've actually gone into a phase in my life where I felt like I've neglected myself for a very long time. I've neglected my feelings. I've put others before myself. And I literally, a month ago, packed my car and moved 2,000 miles away by myself to kind of reflect on myself and find myself again. I feel that this seminar was exactly what I needed to kickstart my journey of finding myself, of dedicating time to myself and my goals. Like Nyla, I kind of decided not to partake in the New Year's festivities, and I was real selfish about it as well. Kind of like, you know, I need to find this for myself before I can share it with anyone else, because it's important. It's important. I'm 32 years old, and I'm at a point in my life where things need to shift, things need to take place, and this seminar really helped me put things into perspective and to start creating the habits that will get me to my goals. So I wanted to thank you very much for all the information that that you've given us. I'm pretty sure a lot of the listeners can agree with me that this is definitely something that's life-changing, and I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Christine. Yeah, and thanks for showing up and putting your life in perspective. It's brave and beautiful for everyone to just hear you stepping into your next phase of Dharma.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. All right. There's a bunch of you guys. I just knocked all the hands down. If anyone has a question, press 1. I just want to see if there's anything. I just want to make sure all the questions are answered, because otherwise what happens is we're going to go into a love fest, which is awesome. Amy Compton, hello.
Hi, Kate. Yes, I have a question. I joined the love fest, but let's get to the question. So how I will use it... How I will use it, this 10 minutes a day, so 1 minute breath clearing, and then I don't understand what the next 4 minutes are.
Writing. You're just gonna take one of the 12 questions and write.
Okay. Write what?
We did. Just exactly like we did today.
Oh, but I already wrote.
Today. Yeah, but you're going to do it every day.
Like just
it's gonna
add to it? Maybe
it's
really clear, like add to it.
Yeah, or it's gonna it changes. Like that's Dharma. So if we look at this as again, if we look at Dharma as a dynamic principle, like who you are tomorrow will be shifted from what you did today, right? So the action you can take on it you're just gonna be able to refine that much. And yeah, if you do the same question day after day after day, you're gonna get a lot of traction in that 30 days around that one question. You'll have put 30 actions into place according to that one question. So the specific action that you take that day, well, then it'll start to change the rest of your day. The next day there's going to be, you're going to have, I mean, it's this whole idea it's called Prakasha Vimarsha. This like the light is Prakasha. It shines out. This is the tantric principle of Prakasha Vimarsha. The light goes out, and then Prakasha is like the reflection of the light. So we take an action, and the universe then has a reflection of what that action is back to us, which then affects the next action we take. So we start to pulse more in alignment with our new dharma through that constant.
We journal, and then we write another action.
So then we write. So yeah. So it's like 1 minute breath, 4 minutes of writing, and the writing with the one specific action, and then you have your remaining time, which will be 4 or 5 minutes, to take that action. To do that 1 minute action, and that's it.
Okay.
That's it. And all you're doing, you guys, this is the important thing: is all you're doing is you're developing the habit of taking action, right? Of like getting clear and then taking action. So that's it. That's the habit that this is developing. And the questions themselves will start to shift your other habits and your relationships, and it'll help you get really clear in your vision. But yeah, that's it. 1 minute of just clearing, breath work, clearing, 4 minutes of writing. You're just simply writing whichever question you're working on. And I do recommend working on the questions in phases. Like, again, 30 days might seem too long. If it seems too long and you need to switch questions, fine, switch questions. The top three questions are the most important, like the who am I, the habits, and the relationships. So those are the most important ones.
Okay.
And the other ones, just sometimes you're going to hit a place where you're like, I want a different question. And then look at the other questions. And one of those questions is just going to be like, that's the question I need to focus on right now. And then use that question as your daily practice for basically until you're out of that phase, until you're time to shift questions. And that's how it works. It's designed for 12 questions for the next 12 months. You could use one question about a month, but you can also skip around. What I'd love to hear from you guys, like everything I do, really just like, you bet. This changes things. Like when you start really getting specific with your actions, it changes things. It starts to really, you start to take action in alignment with what you want to become. And that habit is, it's the most powerful habit I can teach you. I would love to hear on the Facebook forum, so again, facebook.com/yogahealer, just tell me what's going on. Tell me how it's working, and we can really check in with each other and see how this is working, how this is affecting you. Also, the notes will go out with the call recording, so it'll all be there in a really, I'll be as specific and clear as I can in the document, so you can just follow the instructions and do it. But yeah, thanks for helping me clarify, Amy. All right, I'm going to take one more, very, very last. I'm going to take Jacqueline. I don't know your last name. Hello.
It's Schoenheim. Hello. I'm Jacqueline. I'm calling from the Netherlands. Thank you very much for your really interesting excursion here. And I'm coming to this completely not from yoga, so I'm probably on a different path in that sense, but I am a meditator, and I just want to know how this relates to meditation.
So for me, I'll just speak from my experience as a long time meditator. For me, meditation is the practice of, it's really a practice of dissolving, like really dissolution, where I just get to melt into the absolute, melt into the universal, into the cosmos. It's a great unbecoming. And it's incredible, right? Like what it does for your nervous system, like what it does for your immune system, like what it does for our heartbeat. It's so powerful, right? It's so powerful. To me, it's like it's a daily hygiene practice for body, mind, and spirit. Just that the practice of letting go, the practice of allowing everything to be as it is, the practice of unbecoming, the practice of remembering, like pulling the membering part together, like pulling back together who we were before we were born, like that remembering of our who we really are beyond this manifestation as we sense it in time right now, like just that great connection. How does that relate to Dharma? That is the backdrop.
Yeah.
Like that is the context, right? But
mm-hmm.
the action, and this is the thing with Dharma, right? Dharma is where karma and action marry, right? It's where they come together. So the meditation and the yoga and the way we just described it are the same thing, right? It's like the connection is the yoga. The connection is the meditation, right? How does that
mm-hmm.
then influence action? What it has the potential to do is we can live from the biggest possible perspective. Say we know in our meditation practice, we know the wholeness and the unity, and then in our life we see a way that we can show up as that more.
Yeah.
If we see a way we can be of service more, because we know the truth of that wholeness and unity, then that becomes the karma. Then that's our karma. And it's really, it's our karma plus our experience of yoga, so then that's our dharma.
Okay.
And it's, if you will, it's like a demand. It's the universe's demand of you. And if you don't do it, it's a demand. It's the universe's demand mm-hmm. of you because you've had that experience and because you sense that that's what you could do, that if you don't do it, you won't feel fulfilled. You'll lose some of the yoga. Like you'll lose some of the connection because you won't feel as fulfilled in it, right? So it's so fulfilling to be in Dharma. That's like one of the ways we know we're in target is like our life is so deeply fulfilling. And people tell us we're really useful. That's the other thing.
Okay. Well, as I hear it, and I'll just reflect back in my trying to make my own interpretation here, is that the questions we're asking ourselves of who we are becoming are questions that really come out of that space that meditation opens up. And meditation enables you then to go deeper instead of saying, you know, you can always say, I'd like to have 5,000 euros in my case, a month to live on for the next 5 years. But and that's a kind of a real demand or real issue in some ways. But I'm finding all the questions that I'm asking of myself and where I'm going go deeper than that and go on to a spiritual level of wanting stability and sanity and feeling fulfilled and having a sense of purpose when you get up in the morning, knowing what your day is going to, that it's going to be a beautiful day and not that it's going to be a day you have to drag yourself through to meet the goals you've put on a to-do list. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it seems like meditation helps you feel that better. It helps you clear away the me program and get to the deeper questions. That makes sense?
Yeah, and it does, and this is going to be the hard, this I sense, Jacqueline, and I don't know you well, obviously, but I sense, too, that like where the rubber meets the road, like where you're going to get traction is that like, oh my gosh, and I have some real needs. I have some real physical needs, and part of what I want in my dharma is, you know, is I want 60,000 pounds a year. Now, what's the next tiniest small action I can take in the next 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm.
where it's going to get hard because to feel the it's like I could term it like inner abundance and outer abundance. Inner abundance, like anyone who's meditating, you guys should have access to inner abundance where you're just mm-hmm. totally like, oh, like wow, fulfilled, like wow, abundant. And then there's the external abundance of like just check your savings account or your retirement account, right? And so
right.
getting those two in alignment can become very important and having your actions and the answers to these questions very much in line with the outer is probably going to be really effective for you in 2015. It's a different kind of a yoga or it's a different kind of a meditation. It's a different kind of a union. But I would go... You know, and that's when, you know, and I said, like, it should be fun, but it's also, like, there's going to be times when it's, like, kind of like pulling teeth. initially it might feel like pulling teeth, but when it comes time to taking that 1 minute or that 5 minute action, that small action that can be done in 5 minutes, it won't feel like pulling teeth because you'll know specifically what you need to try next.
Right, right. Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. All right, there's a bunch more hands up, and we're going to close. It's been a marathon, and I'm so appreciative of y'all for being here, for taking the time, for doing the work. I love to hear from you. So tell me how it's going on Facebook, facebook.com/yogahealer. And I will be sending this workshop out to you all in an MP3 file with the PDF of the basic action steps to take with following the workshop. And please share it. Like, if it was useful, please share it. That's the greatest way you can show any kind of appreciation. I so am glad to be with you all. I'm going to go ahead and we'll unmute the lines and say goodbye. Namaste. And just I wish you the most support in really following through with your Dharma. Bye.
Namaste.
Bye.
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 Great.
Bye.
Wonderful call, Kate.